Well-Rounded Geek Podcast, episode 6. With me in the studio today is David Ritchie for another episode of the Stoner and the Scholar Sports Show, where we talk about the hottest in sports topics, our hot takes. What's up, man?
What's going on, man? Episode 3. Happy to be back. Let's get it.
David was searching for a Burger King chicken sandwich before he got here, and he had a rude awakening, and it was an extremely long line because fast food is not fast food anymore. It's slow food.
He had to get that out there, y'all.
I want to try that BK chicken sandwich.
It looks delicious. It looks like Popeye's little brother.
It does, but I'm not waiting in line for like 40 minutes at a BK to get that.
It was thick, and I had a timeline. I had to be here for this, so.
Well, we'll let you guys know when we try it. But anyways, here we are again with another sports show. We're going to talk about some specific topics to the NBA playoffs again. We're going to dive into some of the UFC fights, touch on the boxing stuff that's been going on, briefly touch on some of the stuff that's been happening in the NFL, and first and foremost, let's start with that, I guess. So, a few weeks ago, it was announced that Julio Jones was traded. Did you see that? What did you think of that trade?
Yeah, I saw it to the Titans. It was shocking.
Yeah.
But it also wasn't like, oh my God, because they were talking about it like days leading up to it, and Titans from like, it seemed like from day one when he was talking about wanting to not be there anymore, that they were always like one of the couple teams that were thrown out there, you know? So
they're looking beastly for sure. Like, I know Julio Jones is aging,
but
they're still beastly offensively. AJ Brown,
great wide receiver, but does it get him over the hump?
Yeah, I don't know. We'll
see. You know what I mean?
We'll see. I think the biggest thing for me with that wasn't even the trade. It was the fact that they only got, what was it, a second rounder and a fourth rounder in return, right? Like, they traded a sixth rounder in Julio Jones.
It was either a fourth or a fifth.
I think it was a second and a fourth.
Okay.
And to me, trading Julio Jones, who, in my opinion, has been, you know, one of the best wide receivers in the NFL for the last X amount of years.
Mr. Consistent.
They don't get a first round draft pick for him. That's crazy.
Yeah, it sounds nuts when you look at it. Like, but I guess that's, I don't know. It's probably because he's aging and, you know, injuries the last few years, I think. So could possibly be on the decline, but he's still Julio Jones. So
yeah, I have high hopes. I like Tennessee.
Yeah.
I would like to see something good come out of that squad, to be honest with you. I liked when they went deep a few years ago, and they haven't been able to get back to that, but I like them.
Yeah, when Tannehill took over, I think that was 2 years ago, and they kind of made that run, and obviously Henry's a beast. He won the rushing title last year.
Yeah.
That'd be really nice to see them do something, man. They got some nice pieces over there.
That was really all I had from the NFL. I'm sure once things start to unwind with that, we'll start talking about that more in detail, but we'll go straight into the NBA stuff. Before the playoffs, I do want to touch on, just to remind everyone, the NBA draft lottery is this Tuesday, June 22nd, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. So this Tuesday, fingers crossed, we get to see if the Pistons get the first overall pick.
Yeah, we see what kind of luck we have in 2021.
I pray, man. I want Cade Cunningham so bad.
I'll be at work when that happens, but I would definitely be streaming it somehow, some way on my phone to see
where we
end up.
If we end up high, I'm sure we'll have an emergency pod where we're breaking down all the possibilities or something. Cause
I come over right after work.
Yeah.
For everybody that doesn't know, I work right around the corner from where we do this podcast.
Quick 15-minute, 30-minute pod.
Right. Reaction.
The other big news that's been going on with the NBA outside of the playoffs is there was a huge trade with Kemba Walker. We've talked about it off air, but I did want to get your opinion on it on air. What did you think about that Kemba Walker trade?
To me, it seemed like a Boston salary dump. Get this guy out of here. And then with the picks that they gave up, kind of seemed like we're willing to do whatever it takes to get this guy out of here. To start you know, building towards something else. Maybe getting a different piece in there that's not a Kemba Walker, you know.
Yeah, last time we spoke,
yeah, it's funny.
I basically was saying there's no way they're going to be able to move Kemba Walker. And I was sort of right because they moved him, but in the worst way possible. I mean, they moved Kemba Walker and they traded this year's 16th overall pick and a second rounder. I think it was 2025, but still, they had to move Kemba Walker and give up those other assets just to get Horford back.
Right.
Like,
when they already had him in his prime.
I will take the L on that take that I said they wouldn't be able to move Kemba Walker. But in my defense, that trade makes no sense.
No, it doesn't. You look at it, it's all it seems like is that they really desperately wanted to get off of that contract enough to do whatever, you know, OKC wanted, essentially, because they, like you said, they gave up their first round draft pick this year. You don't just go throwing those around, especially not getting much back in return. But to me, it seems like a salary dump, get them out of here, and maybe they have some type of new plan with what's going on with their organization and who's, you know, in charge of different things now.
Yeah, Brad Stevens going to the front office.
Yeah,
I think it's crazy how OKC has just so many picks. Like, they can make these trades and it does nothing. They just accumulated another one, man.
I wish we had it in front of us right now, but it's insane. It's a collection stockpile. Like, years ago when Danny Ainge pulled off that heist, or everybody was talking about it, was such a heist from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, Brooklyn. This is insane what type of stockpile of draft picks that
if they're working with over there. If they don't build a championship caliber team with the amount of picks that they have, that is a complete failure, because they have, I've never seen depth in draft picks like that.
It's insane. It's ridiculous. If you're an OKC fan, you're geeked up for the next 10 years because you know it should look pretty good, especially with the draft history they got, man.
Yeah.
You just talk about off the top of my head who the, you know, I guess the last year of the Seattle Supersonics, and then the OKC Thunder from there on out: Jeff Green, KD, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, Reggie Jackson. There's a couple other names on there that are prominent names on different
teams right now.
Right, exactly.
They weren't able to piece it together, but...
Well, it made a difference for them at one point. I mean, they made a finals.
Yeah.
You know, they were good. Playoff team for, you know, the entire time KD and Russell were there.
The thing that depresses me really is OKC's not even bad right now.
No, they're not.
They have a wealth of these picks, and they're like fringe playoff team every year, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to be good, man. They're young. They're like, and it's probably because Weaver's associated with the Pistons now. They remind me of the Pistons, but they just have a wealth of more picks.
Right. They got so much more ammo when it comes to these drafts. And, you know, another thing about OKC is, like, last year when they had CP3, which is a whole other thing with his effect on teams in a positive way, they made the playoffs, man. I remember seeing a stat that was like, can't remember, 2% chance or something at the beginning of that season, his first and I think only season with OKC, 2% chance to make the playoffs, and they made the playoffs with him.
Yeah, that's the Chris Paul effect for you.
And they didn't have any outstanding star next to him, you know. Russell was gone at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, KD, Harden, everybody's been gone at that point, so.
Yeah.
Who else did they, I was forgetting somebody. Steven Adams was a good piece.
I'm excited to see what happens with that team. They're going to be scary, but they just have to prove that they can draft correctly with those players. But the other big news that's come out of the NBA is Rick Carlisle is stepping down as the Mavericks coach. That's pretty wild to me, because the Mavericks are another team that seems like they're up and coming, right? We've talked about it before. They just need like one more piece, and it can't all be Luka, and they could be awesome. But they seem like they're in a little bit of a turmoil right now, huh?
So, out of nowhere either, because you didn't hear anything about it. And then he's been there, I think, 11 years. He's one of the best coaches in the game for a minute. I don't know if you remember way back in the day when we were kids, he coached the Pistons at one point.
We weren't good, but...
then he went over to Indy, and he's kind of always been a good coach, and he's had success with Dallas, obviously won a championship with them. And then to have Luka, who's one of the, you know, top three best young guys that are in the league right now, without a doubt. Had a team that has made it to the playoffs the last 2 years. You know, like you said, they need another piece. They need something to get them over that hump of out of these first rounds and stuff. It was shocking to me.
Yeah, it's random. It came out of nowhere.
When that happened, I'm like, no way, man. Like, didn't expect that to happen. And it seems like he's not stepping away from them to be done with the game.
Yeah.
So we talked about it. You know, Boston's got a spot. I think there's a couple places that have vacancies right now. I can't think off the top of my head. Boston, I know Orlando. I don't know if Rick Carlisle will go to Orlando, but
I wouldn't mind him in Boston, but I think it might have something to do with the fact that the Mavericks shouldn't have really lost that series. Like, I was talking about that series pretty confidently last time we spoke, like the Mavericks were going to move on. I was still careful with how I was talking about it, but I was almost embarrassed when we recorded our episode. I posted it, and then I saw how it unfolded. It's like, dang, we were talking about Kawhi wanting out with the Clippers,
right,
all this stuff, and then all the script flipped
totally
instantly.
Totally flipped.
Because, and now the coach is stepping down. It's crazy.
It's insane, and you know that series, Luka just didn't really have anybody else to rely on, man.
Yeah.
You can only do so much when it's just you out there. And the Clippers are a good team. And at that point, before Kawhi went down with the injury, they had Kawhi, PG, and the rest of the guys that they got and that are now, you know, weeks later from the last podcast we had, doing their thing and looking like, obviously have made the Western Conference Finals now and are looking like they may be able to finally reach a championship.
Yeah, we'll see. We can actually use this moment to transition to the NBA playoff landscape, really. So, as you've touched on, the Clippers advanced against the Jazz. Ever since we spoke, the Clippers advanced against Dallas, and then the Clippers advanced against the Jazz. We just touched on the Dallas series. I do want to touch on the Jazz series, because that blew my mind. The Jazz should not have lost that series, and that game, what was it, six? I think it was game six.
It was the last game they played. That was the elimination.
They were up like 20 or something. Yep. And I fell asleep, dude, because some of these games are on late, and I felt confident.
And there's been blowouts.
It's insane how that game completely changed in the second half, and the Clippers won. Like, I was doubting the Clippers in that Dallas series. Then they come and they beat the Jazz. We touched on it before. It felt like this playoff almost was a changing of the guard, where this younger talent was gaining more confidence and the old heads are sort of getting phased out, right? I don't think that's the case anymore, because the playoffs got a little bit deeper. The narrative's changed a little bit.
Yeah.
For some of them. I mean, Phoenix is still really young. It's obviously the Chris Paul effect. But the Jazz should have beat the Clippers. Like, they have looked amazing. Donovan Mitchell, like, the team choked, in my opinion. Because they should have beat the Clippers.
Yeah, like you said, they had a 20-point lead in that game six. They should have been able to close it out. It just seems like the Clippers were kind of starting to hit on all cylinders. And then you got, like, with their role players and stuff doing their part, you know, the Reggie Jacksons of the world and stuff like
Reggie
that.
Reggie Jackson's coming.
Playing really good games for that team, putting in really great minutes. And then, you know, you got Kawhi and PG to rely on. And Kawhi's been down the past two games, right? And that was what's surprising, too. He was down. I mean, I didn't expect.
And they've been playing great.
Them
even without
to
Kawhi.
Be eliminated because of that, but I thought they're not winning game six.
Yeah. The difference between the Clippers and some of these other, I guess you could call them super teams, is they haven't looked like they've had the chemistry, but they have more depth. Like, they didn't sacrifice the depth, but they need those role players to perform.
They're that place, and it was, you and I have touched on this before we even started this podcast, and our daily sports talks about how they, it seemed like all these guys were just started to go to the Clippers, man. Like, they got the DeMarcus Cousins. They got the Marcus Morris. I think it's Marcus Morris. One of the Morris.
Yeah.
That's what I always get them confused. Maybe it's Markeith. Reggie Jackson. Guys who were getting bought out of their deals or stuff like that. Or even got trades. You know, they got Luke Kennard over there from the Pistons too. And putting all those things together now. And who it's crazy to think, because the Clippers for the longest time have been really bad.
They're a laughing stock of LA. They never win anything.
And then all of a sudden, you know, they get Kawhi, they get PG. All these other guys want to go there, play there, are skipping out. You know, they're not going to the Lakers. They're not going, you know, to these other teams that are could be contenders. And now they're in the Western Conference Finals. Like you said, they got all that depth, man. On top of really good players.
It's the depth that's been game-changing for some of these teams. Because we just saw the Nets lost last night against the Bucks. That game was a back-and-forth war. But the Nets should have won a championship this year. On paper, that team has, you know, three of some of the best players in the NBA.
Three of the top 10 players in the NBA.
Yeah, it's insane.
A lot of people would argue that.
Shows you that you need to have depth. And if the Clippers can lose Kawhi and look the way they've looked, like they just lost today against the Suns, but they were competitive for the most part. And without Kawhi, they've been competitive those last three games. You cannot take other teams. Like the Lakers, for example, they were terrible without Anthony Davis. Because they're just not deep. They won a championship last year because they got lucky that there weren't any injuries like that, you know? But then this year comes along and they're not deep. So the Clippers have depth. I just don't know if they're going to be able to get over the hump with the Suns. The Suns advanced against the Nuggets handily. And I thought they were going to come out sluggish today because they swept the Nuggets. Nope, they can't. They're good.
They're on a mission, dude.
They are. And they didn't have Chris Paul because he's in the COVID protocol.
Didn't have Chris Paul because out of nowhere in the COVID protocol, that was a bombshell when that hit almost, I think, 4 days ago or something, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Maybe five. Almost a week now, it feels like. And just to touch on that real quick, as soon as I saw that, I instantly felt so bad. Like, this guy can't catch a break. Injuries over the years, like, when he gets deep, when he's getting
there's
on
there's always something.
Always something, man. And then, of course, you know, COVID peaks its head again, and he's out at least for game one, and hopefully, you know, he doesn't have to miss too much more of the series. But with that being said, Devin Booker, the rest of those guys, they are on a mission, man. He looked insanely good this afternoon. Dropped a 40-piece, triple-double. First Western Conference game for him. I mean, 6 years in the league. He's 24. The sky's the limit for that dude.
They're a really sound defensive team, too. Like, they're just overall a great team.
Well coached.
They've been built from the ground up, and then they added a veteran force in Chris Paul. And like you said, Chris Paul has had chances where if he wouldn't have had fluke stuff happen, he probably would have a championship right now, or he should. You know, when that year that Golden State was beastly.
I was just going to touch on that.
They should have upset Golden State, but he got hurt.
But he got hurt, and, you know, they missed a bunch of threes in that one game. I think it was like 22 straight threes. You know, you're not going to win any game like that. But, yeah, it's super unfortunate. But, you know, they're there now, and they get him back. They may win the whole thing, dude.
They're looking good. It's going to be a good series with the Clippers.
Yeah.
I'm going to feel bad for the Clippers.
We got to see if Kawhi comes back, too. You know, it makes everything different.
The other series, and we'll talk about Brooklyn and the Bucks because I do want to talk about that. But the other series that's going on literally as we record this right now is the 76ers-Hawks series. And it's neck and neck even right now towards the end of the game. This series should not be in a Game 7. Philadelphia is so disappointing. If I was a 76ers fan, I would be so upset because they're losing right now, everyone, live as we record this.
Down 6 points with 2.5 left in the fourth.
And Trae Young's dropping dimes.
That was a nice day.
What we have talked about before is, at what point do you say something isn't working
here? Yeah.
You know, what point do you give up? The 76ers should have been competitive a few years ago for a championship. And if anything, this year, the way that the East has looked outside of, I guess, the Bucks, they should be competing for a championship, and they're about to get upset by the Hawks.
You got to look. I mean, the glaring thing to me, and I'm sure a lot of other people, is looking at the underdevelopment of Ben Simmons' game and how that has not elevated, you know, the Philadelphia 76ers to get over that hump in any way.
It's his game to me.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. He's a liability on offense. Yeah. So even tonight in this game, we were talking earlier off the air, and he looked scared to take the ball to the rim because he doesn't want to go to that free throw line and be exposed for his terrible shooting.
He can't shoot. And he's had years to develop that.
Years to develop. Doesn't look like he... I mean, we're talking about doesn't look like he practiced that part of his game whatsoever. Doesn't even take shots. And when he does, it doesn't look good. They don't drop. And now they're, you know, with 2 minutes left in another Game 7 long series, that it looks like they're going to lose. They're not, you know. And, yeah. And with that, then you start thinking, now this year especially, right now, you got to start thinking, all right, how... what do we got to do to make this work? Who do we got to get out of here? And what pieces do we got to get in place for that person?
Yeah.
And if you're Philly, who do you trade? I know who I would trade.
I agree. But the problem is, for me, I have a hard time. It's like I watch the Bucks, and then I watch the 76ers. I always ask myself, what would I rather have? Would I rather have Giannis throwing up bricks and not shooting free throws properly, like he hasn't developed an offensive game, it's at weird, least shooting man. Wise, or would I rather have Ben Simmons being a coward? And I feel like I would rather have Giannis because from time to time he makes them.
He's efficient in other places, efficiently consistent in other places. I mean, he's a two-time MVP, not for nothing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Can't shoot a lick, and it's disgusting to me because it's 2021, man. Like, that is the game of basketball right now. Shout out to Steph Curry for changing the whole thing years ago. Because you got to be able to shoot in this league.
You have to.
You know?
Even if you're like a center, you have to be able to shoot. Everything has changed, man. You got to be able to
shoot, man. And these guys not only can't shoot, but year after year look like they haven't done anything to improve on the fact that they can't shoot.
The other problem that I have with Ben Simmons is he plays the point guard position.
Yeah.
But he plays it like a power forward because he doesn't shoot. And it's not good. It's very harmful to that team, especially when you have a center like Joel Embiid. It's just not complimentary. And Doc Rivers is going to be under heat if they lose this series, just like he was under heat with the Clippers, because the 76ers should be at least in the Eastern Conference finals.
An interesting stat popped up while we were talking earlier. The most coached Game 7s have been by Doc Rivers. 14, I believe it was, before this game. He's 6 of 8.
Okay.
In those games.
Well, why is he in so many Game 7s regardless, though?
That's what I'm saying. And honestly, like, 6 and 8, that's not a great.
Okay, so you're saying
not six,
six
not, not yeah. Excuse okay. me, I misspoke. So not 6-4-8. Yeah, not that good. He only lost two. That he's 6 wins, 8 losses.
No.
Yeah, that's not good at all, man.
He shouldn't even be in some of these.
That's where the jury on him has been out for a while. People have been saying that, and especially last year with the Clippers, man. Like, they were hyped up to be the team that wins it all, especially after, you know, what Kawhi did the year prior in Toronto. And they didn't live up to that expectation at all. And now look at them. Doc Rivers not there, and they're in the Western Conference Finals.
And
he's about to not make the Eastern Conference Finals.
He was under some heat because oh, the game's getting closer, so we should probably not. He was under some heat because he wasn't utilizing Paul George properly. And
he even came out and said that Paul George did.
And now Paul George is approaching the game differently, and he looks better, and the Clippers look better as a whole, you know?
And he's having 30-point outings.
Yeah.
Carrying, well, they didn't win today. We kept them competitive today.
Yeah, especially with Kawhi.
And is the reason they closed the series.
Yes.
For the Clippers, quite honestly. I mean, the role players played and stepped up, but PG had, you know, a 37-point game. And I'm not sure if that was the closeout game or not.
I don't remember.
I don't think
it was.
He's
been balling, though. I mean, it hasn't been pandemic P this time.
No, it wasn't. He's touching a little bit of that playoff P.
Yes.
The self-proclaimed.
So I think, obviously, Doc Rivers needs to be questioned. We'll see how this game unfolds. It's still neck and neck as we record this.
1-point lead with a minute left.
But regardless what happens, in my personal opinion, I think the two best teams in the NBA this year were the Bucks and the Nets. And they just played. And that was a full-blown war. And I wanted to get your take on those teams and Kevin Durant. So first of all, what do you think about the Bucks?
I think the Bucks have a really... Well, they play... It looks like they're going to be playing Atlanta. I think they beat Atlanta in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Me too.
So I think they go to...
I think they beat the 76ers if the 76ers win tonight.
I do too. Just the way the 76ers have been looking really suspect lately, man. And the Bucks have been on. Chris Middleton's been playing out of his mind. Giannis is Giannis despite
Middleton
the bad
is so
shooting.
Good.
You know, they still got Jrue Holiday. They got Brooke Lopez. They got a good team. They got some depth too, man.
And
they got some guys that come off of that bench that are good players.
And they've all pretty much been playing with one another for quite some time. What I noticed in their series and even yesterday's game is there's still questionable coaching with that team.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have been saying that about Budenholzer the last probably four games now.
Yes.
Really questioning, like, what's going on with the coaching?
Because your team should not look like a completely different team.
You spoke on it earlier a little bit about that last play that...
Last night, yeah.
Yep, that almost lost them that game.
Yeah,
had
Kevin
it not
Durant's
been for KD's
foot,
foot on the line.
400 feet long, they would have lost that game.
By a toenail, dude.
And he spent a timeout drawing up a play, and they didn't even do that. Why? Was his play terrible, or is his coaching? Did he not convey certain things?
Right, what happened? Why is your experienced veteran team that's been together for a little bit not on the same page there, and not have a play where you're not just, you know, you got to be aware of the, you know, time clock and what's going on. It's game seven, man. Like, you can't afford these type of critical mental lapses, you
it
know?
It was bad, and they were playing with fire, and KD,
yeah,
he
let's touch on
pay.
Him, man.
KD is so good.
He took the crown, man.
He's the best player in the
best
world.
Player in the league. If Harden was even close to healthy and or Kyrie was out there healthy, they win the series.
Yeah.
I think 100%.
They probably win a title, but it...
But it goes, it touches back to that depth
the
conversation
depth. They
we
sacrifice
had.
Quite a lot to build that team. So, like, I'm not trying to make an excuse for them because I don't like these super teams, but I also don't appreciate when people make excuses for them when they lose. Like, these teams are built this way, super teams, without the depth, and if it fails, that's on them. That's the way they built it, you know. And
right.
Kyrie's been questionable for a minute, and even Harden's has never been like super durable. He has his issues, you know. So
and going back to that super team point, like, listen, man, me and you are both LeBron James fans, but they built their team the same way out there in LA. Heavy with AD and him, and they rely heavily on those guys. And when one or two of those dudes are missing, forget about it.
Not even
the
same team.
They are. If both of those guys are out, they're not even a playoff team. They don't sniff the playoffs without either of those guys.
They
and
might
then
not even sniff.
We saw what happened every time AD wasn't there.
Yeah.
They struggled, man. They struggled,
so
and they struggled badly. And there's no... You know, There's no excuse to even be made for that. You know, you rely heavily on your superstars, don't have that bench. That's what happens.
The crazy thing to me was seeing it proven right before my eyes that no matter if you have the best player in the world on your team or not, if you don't have a good all-around team or like other people depend on, you're going to lose. Kevin Durant played lights out majority of that series, put that team on his back, and they still lost.
I think he almost had he almost touched 53 separate times.
Yeah.
He had that one, I can't recall if it was game 5 or game 6. I think it was game 6 where he had the 49, 17, and 10.
He went off.
He went off, and like you said, it looked like after that performance, it looked like he's going to finish this thing off. They're going to the Eastern Conference Finals, man. And I felt the same way about them. They play Atlanta or they play Philly, they're going to beat them. You know, KD is just that damn good. And if you would have been able to bring Harden along, getting healthier, or Kyrie back, I don't even know what Kyrie's status would have been had they made the Eastern Conference Finals. But that would have been dangerous, man. It would have been.
They're going to be the really favorites scary. To win next year for sure.
I agree.
100%.
I agree.
They just need to stay healthy.
Exactly. They got to stay healthy and do something about that depth if they can, you know?
To me, I need to start giving the Hawks more credit. I need to start giving Trae Young more credit because if they advance and it's looking like they're going to, it's going to be the Bucks versus the Hawks.
Insane.
But I don't think... I know I have to give them more credit, but I just don't think the Bucks lose that series. The Bucks are just too deep. They're too good defensively. They're too good offensively. Who on the Hawks is going to stop Giannis? Who on the Hawks is going to stop Middleton if they can stop Giannis? Nobody.
No, I don't think so. They don't have a stopper out there, man. But what they do have, is really good three-point shooting.
They do.
They have really good three-point shooting that makes a difference and stretches the floor, makes things more difficult for Bucks defenders. I think they're going to have to work a little bit harder.
Well, Drew Holiday is one of the best defenders in the league, so he should be able to play at least well against Trae Young.
No, it's definitely looking like Milwaukee's going to win that series.
Yeah, and in my personal opinion, I think Milwaukee should win a championship this year. I think they should. Even if the Suns advance, even if the Clippers advance, I just think, but
Suns fully healthy, you think lose to?
I think it'll be Milwaukee? A great series. Yeah. I honestly would like the Suns to take it all.
Yeah.
I'm feeling the Suns right now. Like I love rooting for them.
I'm feeling that as well. But I'm also just have the vibe that they feel it.
Yeah. There's something special in the air with
that. There's something sparking over there, dude. And once CP3 comes back, I don't see them being beat, man. With D Book and the way those guys are playing, the way CP3 has it, their coach.
I think it'll be a great series. And I don't want to keep like thinking that they're automatically going to advance over the Clippers because the Clippers could prove us wrong again. They proved me wrong against Dallas. Like, we're already this soon talking about them again when I thought Dallas was going to advance. So
we're not even giving them a chance.
The NBA playoffs, to me, started off lame, man. There were, like, blowouts. It was predictable stuff that was happening. It was lame, but the last few weeks have been great.
My mind's blown right here sitting live watching this game.
The 76ers lose to the Hawks.
To the Hawks. I can't even believe it. I'm not a Hawks nor a Philly fan, but it's like exciting to see.
This is what you watch.
Yeah.
Playoff basketball for,
right, exactly.
This type of stuff. So the narrative that's going to come out of this is going to be awesome. I'm looking forward to seeing the Bucks versus the Hawks. I'm looking forward to the more games that we see out of the Suns and the Clippers, and I'm sure you and I will talk soon about this as those games go underway. The other stuff that I did want to talk about to close out this show on is the most recent UFC fights. So UFC 263 just happened. It was Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori. We talked about it. We gave our thoughts and predictions. Did you watch that card? What did you think of it?
Yeah, I watched a majority of the main card. I think I only watched half of the first fight, right? The first fight was my... No. The first fight was...
It was Paul Craig versus Hill. Hill's arm like almost looked like it broke. Did you see
that?
Yep,
that was it. Yep, yeah, I watched that. That was insane.
And then Damian Maia. We don't have to talk about that, but Damian Maia, Bilal Muhammad. You're a Bilal Muhammad fan, especially since he came back from that eye poke where we thought he lost his eye.
Right, that was nasty.
That fight was so boring and terrible, and Damian Maia needs to never fight again for the UFC because I cannot stand watching him because he has no stand-up, and he does nothing anymore.
Right, I think he put out a post after that fight, too, like hoping that the UFC would bring him back for whatever more because he doesn't feel done yet. I didn't watch that whole fight. I watched the first round, then I went to go grab a bite to eat after or during. But from what it sounds like, he didn't put on he didn't give any reason for like people done. To be like, oh, we should bring him back for one more. You know, he wasn't out there throwing and really putting it to Bilal Muhammad, at least it sounds like.
His style is so boring to watch, too, because he's a grappler and he's just old and he's not good anymore at anything, really. So I'm happy at least Bilal Muhammad came back and got a dub, even though it was terrible.
Yeah, but you know what? Get back after a nasty injury that, you know, could have been career-ending.
Yeah.
Could have blinded him. Come back, get a dub, you know, and then... Still keep climbing, keep going for it, you know?
The next fight was Nate Diaz versus Leon Edwards. That was a good fight. I know you were looking forward to just seeing Leon Edwards really in action because it's been hit or miss for him as of late with some of these bigger fights. What was your opinion on that fight?
Finally got to see Edwards for a full entire five rounds. I think this is the first time I've actually seen Diaz go full five, too. Majority of that fight, Leon was piecing him up.
He looked good.
Which is kind of what I've seen out of the Diaz fights lately.
Yeah.
Just him kind of getting touched up.
I mean, I've spoke on this before,
Leon looked good, man. Didn't and couldn't put him out, but nobody does.
Yeah.
Nobody puts Nate, you know, to sleep. But there were some shots, and just the way he looked, man, I'm like, okay, I see why people, you know, put him kind of up there with the best in that class.
Upper echelon of that division.
Absolutely.
Well, my opinion on that fight, there's two things that I did want to talk about. First and foremost, Leon Edwards is good. He really is. But when I was watching that fight, I was questioning, am I just watching an improved Leon Edwards or am I just watching Nate Diaz, who's really never been that good, not being active, aging, and then getting all this hype behind him and getting big fights? Because that's what it felt like I was watching. And that's what it felt like even with some of the Conor McGregor fights, man. Like, I know he's a huge entertainer and he's a savage. Like, that's what's the best part about him. But then you see at the end of that fight, dude, he connected.
Man.
He was getting destroyed, and then he connected, and he pointed at Leon Edwards like, ha-ha, gotcha, because you rocked him, man. Just then, right there,
yeah,
his mystique is back.
That's all it took.
And it's crazy because you and I were texting, and I was basically saying, there's no way he still is going to keep the hype that he has, because he's like one of the biggest superstars in the UFC.
One of the biggest draws, for sure.
And it's crazy because he doesn't actively fight.
And he's lost three in a row.
He's never really won anything other than that first Conor McGregor fight. It's just something about him that people love. And it's awesome, don't get me wrong. Yeah. But it also, I don't like how it's blinded me for some of these fights where I expect more. And they're not good fights. Like, he looked bad, like a tad slower and just like a punching bag that whole fight. But then he connected, man, because he's a zombie. Like Conor McGregor's talked about it. He can just eat blows all fight.
He takes so much damage.
His cardio goes nowhere.
Yeah.
Your cardio goes somewhere.
Right.
His goes nowhere. So then
he
might be slow in the beginning of the fight, but he maintains that speed the whole fight where you're getting slower as the fight progresses.
Right.
And that's when he starts picking you apart.
Exactly. And that's when he can end you with fourth, fifth rounds because you're gassed out. His tank is what it is. And it's really great. And a lot of people, it's it's really good to the point where a lot of people think he actually gets better towards those late rounds, but it's probably more just he doesn't get tired.
Yeah, it's opposed you getting to frustrated.
His opponent's gassed.
Yeah, it's you getting frustrated that you've given it all you have and he's not falling.
Right.
And you're getting exhausted.
Right.
It's really that. But
and the guy's a savage and he laughs at you and he flicks you off.
And he talks and, the whole time.
And he
time.
Smacks you and slaps mm-hmm. you and
Dude, he slapped Leon Edwards before he connected, dude. Isn't that crazy? The slow-mo slap?
That's why people love Nate Diaz, because yeah. he is who he is. He goes out there, he puts it all online. He got touched up several times in that fight by Leon, and would look at Leon and be like, yeah, that was a good one. Like, yeah, yeah like you got me. Like, yeah, that one hurt, you know? And then, obviously, what brought him back, because it was looking like, well, it was all one-sided as far as who yeah. won rounds. Leon was destroying him. But we were talking and you said, you know, there's no reason he should be, you know, he's on a three. This is going to be his third loss in a row. There's no reason he should keep getting
these upper echelon of this division names.
And then he rocks Edwards. And instead of finishing the fight, which would have been a win against the upper echelon dude who's, you know, respected by a lot of guys. He is who he is, and he points and laughs at the
right?
guy.
The
it's like I hurt
back.
You.
Yeah.
He could have. I mean, he could have won that fight. Who would you know?
If he
does a win,
had...
does a win do more for him than him being who he is and being
yeah.
like, ha ha, mm-hmm. I'm not gonna swear, but ha ha, I got you know, I hurt
yeah.
you, and you know, didn't end up winning the fight. Didn't end up doing anything. Didn't even charge him. I mean, there was a good like 5 second pause where after he pointed at him, where it's like I was. Yelling at my TV like finish
yeah,
him you have him right
that,
here
dude. He doesn't do the killer
he's wobbling
stuff. Yeah
and Leon even said he's like I don't get wobbled like that and he wobbled me
any other fighter that's explosive Leon would have been screwed man but the craziest thing
he'd
is
been sleeping
I've never seen a fighter lose and it doesn't matter with him it does not matter literally
it's that Nate Diaz army
like
bro.
He got destroyed yeah. by
Masvidal I that fight made me think Masvidal was like
amazing.
Way up and we've come to find out that's not the case
yeah exactly
some of the shots he was putting on Diaz I'm like oh my goodness
those are like
and
life-changing
that's why
shots.
That fight stopped because he was piecing him up and he was a you know he had that gash above his eye which is a Nate Diaz thing anyways. He gets bloody to you know, sneeze on him.
Yeah, he has so many...
Scar tissue.
Scars, yeah. So that fight happened. It was okay. I still like to see Diaz there. I like to see Leon Edwards, but I can't fully gauge where Leon Edwards is in this division until I see him fight like... I would like to see Leon Edwards fight Masvidal.
Well, that's what they're talking about next.
Because they have bad blood.
That. Right.
And I want to see.
There's beef there.
Because if you can't beat Masvidal, you ain't beating Usman.
No.
Usman will eat you alive.
No, man.
And Colby will eat you alive. I think Colby eats Leon Edwards alive, too. Like,
right
I don't
now,
like Colby
today,
at all.
They fight right now, yeah.
So, the
Colby's
next...
Colby's good, man. He's a... Excuse me for saying this. He's a douchebag, but he is... Good
yeah.
at his sport, at his craft.
The next fight in that division is going to be exciting. I still think Usman's going to beat Covington, and then
yeah,
I would like to see Leon Edwards fight Masvidal. That's yeah. just an exciting division. It's one of the best divisions in the UFC.
I agree, and right now, I don't see anybody beating Usman.
No, especially with him getting better with each and every fight. So
right.
the next two fights on that card were both championship fights. Did you watch the Figueiredo versus Moreno fight?
I did. And that one came as a shock to me to see Moreno pull it out. I thought Figueiredo was gonna finish him this fight.
Me too.
But that's why that sport's so great, man. You can expect one thing and you get the complete unexpected the second time around when they like these two guys have fought, you know. Twice.
Yeah, and I was wrong both times, and I will even eat my words for the second one because I thought Figueiredo was going to avenge that close decision from the original fight, and he changed nothing. Moreno looked much better and improved, and I don't want to hear excuses anymore because at first, you know, with the first fight, Figueroa wasn't as dominant as I've told you he's dominant in the past. And I thought it was a weight cutting thing because he's one of the biggest in that division. Like, he walks around at a heavy weight compared to what he fights at.
Okay.
And I thought he would get that sorted out and he would look dominant again in this second fight. He was getting pieced up from the beginning. Like, Moreno looked much better. He deserved to win that belt.
Yep.
And I was happy for him, honestly. And
I think he was the he's become the first Mexican-born UFC champion. So congratulations to him.
I have heard that Figueroa wants to run it back again, but I don't even want to see that right now.
You don't want to see a trilogy?
Not right now. I don't know. If it would have been
closer. You'd like to see Moreno defend it against somebody first, someone else first, and then maybe run it back?
If that fight would have been closer, that second fight,
right,
maybe, but that sort of bothered me, and I don't like the fact that he cuts as much weight and can look that different. It's just weird to me, and I don't like some of that huge weight cutting in the UFC either. It's just a bad look.
Such a dangerous game to play, man.
It's insane the amount of weight that they cut. Like, he probably loses close to like 30 to 50 pounds.
That's a lot of weight. That's insane. That's a lot of weight to lose and like go about your regular everyday life, opposed to cutting all that weight and having to train, fight, and manage that for your entire camp and then fight. Fight week and fight day.
He's so depleted fight night.
It's insane. Yeah. That's a huge, much more broader topic that we could touch on sometime.
Yeah, really wanted to get into it. They're still having problems with the weight cutting stuff. Yeah, they've tried to change things.
It's so dangerous, man.
It's gotten better, but it's still so bad.
Like,
but,
and it starts from, you know, I remember seeing wrestlers in high school.
This all stems from wrestling.
It all starts from that, dude. Mm-hmm. And it was brutal seeing some of the condition those dudes were in, trying to cut weight to make weight for their class and their upcoming, you know, tournament.
Yeah, it's, and then you have ridiculous people like Figueroa, who I'm not saying he's not necessarily fighting at his true weight class, but he sort of isn't, and he's trying to use it as an advantage to be in a lower weight class, but it's very harmful, and it takes its toll over time, and maybe that's what we're seeing.
Right.
Yeah. But that was a good fight, and then the final fight was Israel Adesanya versus Marvin Vettori. What did you think of that fight?
I thought that it was, I don't know. I was hoping that Izzy would go out there and finish it. Finish him. Yeah. You know? I was kind of, I don't know why, but I was expecting that for some reason. Just because of the way the first one went down. Neither of them were satisfied with how it went. Both of them. Obviously, Izzy won the first one. Marvin thought he won the first one. So you figure these guys, you know, they might come out slugging. But that didn't happen. And, you know, it went the whole Hintable way. And I think I turned that off like with like a minute or so to go in the last round, because I was like, oh, Izzy's got this. I don't need to.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I thought Vettori would come out looking better.
Yeah.
And put it on him right away and take him down more and try and take him down. But I mean, Adesanya has good takedown defense at that weight class. Yeah.
And it's something that obviously he probably went back to the drawing board and tried to sharpen his tools on, because
he looked good.
He just lost that way too. Obviously, going up to a weight class, you know, big ups to him for doing that. Big challenge, and he lost that fight. But he lost that fight because he got dominated on the ground. You know, Blackwood has that power to put somebody out, no doubt.
And he was hesitant at the power. That's why, though. Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
But it was refreshing. I didn't enjoy that fight, right, to be honest, but it wasn't refreshing to see him back in the win column and look the way we're used to seeing him, because he looks really good. Like, his stand-up is still amazing. He has so much power. He is so elusive and fast, and he switches it up, and he has really good feints and everything. And I think I was the most impressed by his takedown defense, because if he did get taken down by Vettori, he was back up quickly.
Yeah.
And he stuffed a lot of takedowns.
Yeah.
And that was impressive. Vettori, had no right talking the way he did and then fighting like that. Right. Like, that was so bad. And it just stinks because Adesanya should be the biggest name in MMA right now. He should be. He should be the biggest draw, but he really doesn't sell pay-per-views. And it's because he really doesn't have, like, a good arch nemesis. Or, like, you know, the Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz is what blew things out of proportion. Things like that. Like, Conor McGregor is a name for himself. He's one of a kind. But Conor McGregor, Khabib, like, Khabib wouldn't even have been that known if it wasn't for Conor McGregor, you know? Adesanya should be the face of the UFC because he can speak well, he talks crap, he backs it up, and he's incredible. But fights like what we just saw does not help his case because that was so boring. But that's on the UFC, man. Like, that shouldn't even have been the fight.
Right.
Whitaker should have fought.
It should have been a wait for
100%.
Yeah.
Because Whitaker has done nothing but destroy everyone put in front of him after he lost that belt.
Right. Besides Izzy.
Yeah.
That was what I was just about to ask you was, does he find that arch nemesis in Robert Whittaker come there? You know, this next fight that they're going to have, he's next up. There's nobody who deserves another title shot more than Robert Whittaker right now. And I think Izzy addressed that after that fight that what do they call him? Bobby Knuckles or something?
Yeah.
Is next.
Talent wise, he could be, but there's so much more to fighting now with the UFC.
So different.
You have to have chemistry and how you are combative on the mic and stuff. And Robert Whittaker will never be good at that.
He's not a big talker.
He's more humble.
Mm-hmm.
And they are both extremely talented skill-wise. I still think Adesanya is better. And Robert Whittaker is amazing. Like, if Adesanya wasn't in that division, Robert Whittaker would never lose.
Right.
You know, he's incredible. But I don't know. We'll see how that fight goes. I'm looking forward to that. But I do want to see Adesanya take things to the next level because they need someone outside of Conor McGregor because Conor McGregor is sort of fizzling out. So
they do need a new face.
The next thing I wanted to talk about is the upcoming fight card, Conor McGregor, Dustin Poirier. That's UFC 264. That is going to be early July. Are you looking forward to that fight? How do you feel about that fight?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing number three. I didn't watch the first fight. So I didn't watch that first one. I obviously watched the last one, the second one, where Dustin smoked him, man, pretty much. It looked like, you know, I got out of the first round with him, and that seems to be always the thing is people saying, you know, you got to make it out of the first round with Conor. And he did. He knocked him out. Well, TKO'd him.
Yeah, I think a lot had to do with that calf kick, though, because...
Yeah, he was...
The only fight
he was busting that leg up.
The only fight that I've seen Conor lose where I actually thought, okay, he completely lost that fight was Khabib. Where when he lost to Diaz, he was piecing Diaz up, like, left and right. And he was piecing up Dustin Poirier, but he's completely changed his style. Instead of this, like, boxy, light on your feet, popping in and out, I shouldn't even say boxy because now he switched it to, like, a flat-footed boxing. But he's usually light on his feet, like, popping around.
Right.
And that helped him, man. But ever since he's switched to more of, like, a boxing, not light on his feet, that calf was targeted. So I want to see if he switches that up. I am looking forward to that fight. I'm a huge Conor McGregor fan. But I'm just a fan of this sport, and I'm a fan of Dustin Poirier as well, and he deserves everything that's come his way. He deserves that belt, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he got out the way of that belt conversation to take this trilogy because that's where that money's at, man.
So I'm looking forward to that fight. We also have some other cool fights on the card. We have Stephen Thompson versus Gilbert Burns. That's going to be nice to see. We have Greg Hardy.
Never gotten to see Thompson fight.
He's good.
That's what I've heard. And Burns' last fight was against Usman, and he lost, but obviously a contender. And I think I heard that this could be kind of another link to a championship fight after.
It could.
Depending on who wins.
The weirdest thing with Stephen Thompson is his name's been like in the conversation for so long.
For a while, yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I've heard, at least.
He just hasn't been as active. He's great.
I've been watching UFC like regularly, like 2.5, almost 3 years now. I've never seen him fight.
Yeah, he's good. He's a really prominent counter striker. He's okay. More karate style. So it'll be a good fight. I mean, Gilbert Burns is no slouch, man. He was putting Usman in some questionable positions.
Yeah, he was touching Usman up at first. It was getting a little like, oh man, he Usman's not gonna be able to eat them anymore. So real quick, do you remember Thompson's last fight?
No, not specifically offhand. That's how uneventful they've been, though.
Right.
Because I still remember when Thompson fought Till, and I don't remember him fighting since then, but I know he's definitely won a fight, for sure.
Gotcha.
But they've been uneventful, to be honest, because his name was in championship contention for a while, and now it hasn't been that way, really. But the other fight that's on the card is we have a Greg Hardy versus Tuivasa. Greg Hardy has been super active. Like, I feel like he's fought every other month for a while, and he doesn't look like amazing, but at least he's being active. I don't ever want him to win because he has had some questionable issues in the past.
Super questionable, right.
So I would like to see him get knocked out. But
yeah, I don't have really any opinions on... I don't know much about Tuivasa besides that he chugs beers out of shoes. And Greg Hardy, like you said, ex-NFL player. Seems like a real piece of work from, the things he's gotten in trouble for. So,
and I don't want to see his dang inhaler in between rounds anymore. That was a questionable thing that he was doing.
Something he could get, like, wasn't against the rules. Like,
typical Greg Hardy.
When have you ever seen that? If it was allowed, people probably would have been doing it.
I know.
You know?
You would have seen it as a common
You would have seen
thing.
Somebody doing it
yeah, no.
to get their lung, you know, to get nope. some more oxygen up in there.
Just Greg Hardy.
Foolish.
There's also a female fight. I don't want to discredit it by any means, but I just don't know much about it. The other fight that I do know is Sean O'Malley. I don't know who Louis Smolka is, but I do know that I want to see Sean O'Malley start to fight some higher quality talent in that division. He's great, but I need to see him against...
Louis Smolka, no disrespect, because he could probably... He would whoop me. He looks like my 7th grade math teacher, bro.
Yeah, Sean O'Malley should have his way with him. Yeah. Sean O'Malley's, he's good, man.
I'm a fan.
And he's a good personality.
Yeah, I like him. I think he could be one of those guys that, like, could contend to be a face of the UFC.
And I think they're...
If he continues to keep being better, winning, and then, you know, everything else comes along with that.
I think they feel the same way. Yeah. They're just really holding his hand at this. You know, they need to start putting him against some top 10 talent.
That's the question.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and like you said, it's a little bit of holding hand because you feel that way about him. You don't want him to go out there and get starched by somebody. But, you know, he's had, I've watched at least 3 or 4 fights of him in the UFC now. So if he's got 3, 4, 5 UFC fights under his belt, let's start giving some of these top name guys to back up that good talk that he has, you know?
Yeah.
Because he can talk with the best of them.
He can.
And let's see you fight with the best of them too, you know?
He's very well-rounded too.
And he's a dog. I've seen some starched, out-of-cold knockouts by that dude.
So there's an exciting UFC card coming up. I did want to quickly, before we end the show, touch on boxing. I did want to talk about the Floyd-Logan Paul fight.
Yeah.
What did you think of the outcome of that fight? I know you didn't necessarily watch it, but what did you think of that?
I don't...
Everything we've been saying?
Yeah, I mean, it has reassured that everything we thought that was going to be kind of exactly what it was, which was... mostly a mockery of
boxing.
Of boxing and the sport.
Sports.
And the fact that kid that's been doing it for 2 years maybe.
Yeah. YouTube.
Just fought the best fighter ever. The best fighter ever. Best boxer ever. Excuse me. It kind of baffles
me. He lost, but he didn't get like embarrassed or anything. And that's what's bad about it.
He looked terrible, but you fought the best boxer in the world. You're not. I mean, Floyd Mayweather is good at and known for his defensive boxing against real boxers, right? Logan Paul was atrocious as far as hitting that man. Like, he didn't touch Floyd Mayweather at all. There was even a point, I don't know if you saw the video, where it looked like Floyd knocked him out. Did you see that?
Yeah, they were talking about that. Yeah. I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either, but it looked real suspicious.
Dude, that fight was just bad.
It was weird, man. The whole thing was strange.
It was not good, and it did water down boxing for me. And you and I have talked about this off air, but what other sport exists where you can be a YouTuber and then start training for a year or two and then compete with who would be regarded as one of the best in the world? I don't care if he's aging or not.
Right.
No other sport. That's impossible. So why is that possible in boxing? That it's not a good look for boxing.
It's not. It definitely is a real question mark for a lot of people. The legitimacy of it. You know? And I think there was some questions before all this started happening with the legitimacy. And I'm not a big boxing guy. I honestly probably couldn't tell you five current boxers.
Yeah.
I'm just not up to date with boxing as a sport. So it's not my strongest piece to be talking about. But just from what I've heard is that, like, even the top boxers, right? Not the Logan Pauls and the Jake Pauls and the other YouTube guys who have done this stuff too. Aren't fighting each other.
No.
The top guys.
Because there's different organizations.
Aren't fighting, aren't boxing, mm-hmm. and it's like, that waters your sport down.
Yeah.
Already, you know? And then you get this stuff that's been happening with the YouTube kids, or YouTube guys, and it's just a whole nother layer of watering down the sport. Because now you got guys outside of it making crazy money, fighting the best guys, and now Jake Paul's on Showtime, which is a real boxing promotion, yeah. instead of, you know, Triller, which was just events put together when he was fighting Nate Robinson and mm-hmm. guys who
it's just not a good look freaking for boxing, fighters. Man.
It's terrible.
It's not a good look. And then I did want to touch on this quickly, but Anderson Silva actually just fought last night. He made his boxing debut. He's been wanting to box forever. He fought Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. and he beat him, man. And he looked, dude, he looked like he turned back the clock. He looked so good. Right. I forgot that they were fighting.
Yeah.
And I saw it get tweeted. So I tuned in. And I was like, dang.
I knew nothing about it until you texted me last night. I mean, the fight was over by the time you said something. But yeah, I had no idea that was happening.
Dude, he looked good. And I know that this is a different story. It's not a YouTuber, but it's a close to 50-year-old, end-of-his-career UFC fighter.
Who couldn't fight in MMA anymore because he was
way past his prime.
He was getting starched, and I don't think... I think what would happen when... Because Dana said after his last fight in UFC, there's no more. Yes. We're not doing it anymore with Anderson. If he wants to go over there, I don't think he should. Over there as far as other MMA promotions. Yeah. And to my knowledge, he didn't.
No.
Right? He hasn't fought another MMA fight since his last UFC fight. He went out there and he beat... I mean, I don't know anything about that
Julio
boxer
Cesar
either.
Chavez Jr., he's nowhere near as good as his dad, but he's not like... He shouldn't have lost to a 46-year-old Anderson Silva, let's put it that way.
Right.
Not the way he did, by mm-hmm. the way. It was a split decision, and it shouldn't have been because the judge, I don't know what that one of the judges was watching, because Anderson Silva won that fight, like, handily.
Yeah.
The craziest thing to me is Anderson Silva looks like he belongs as a boxer, and he could win some more fights at the age of 46. So it waters down the sport to me because Anderson Silva... I know he's not competing with anyone that's super active right now. He shouldn't be able to just come into boxing and do what he's done. And Conor McGregor shouldn't have been able to come into boxing against Floyd. I know he lost, but and do what he did.
And
you know,
what, 10 rounds?
Yeah, this stuff shouldn't be happening. It waters down the sport. boxing's just a mess right now. to me, it is, and it's only going to keep getting worse if these YouTubers keep winning things.
Right.
But we'll always be here talking about them.
Yeah.
as the NBA playoffs unfold, we'll continue to meet more frequently. Initially, David and I had pictured meeting maybe like once a month, but it seems like we're going to start meeting more frequently. As long as there's active sports topics that we can talk about, keep you guys up to date on, just give you our 2 cents. I want to thank you again, David, for being here tonight. And I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
I just want to take a quick moment to give a huge shout out to Caged Muscle Supplements. If you guys don't know, I just recently joined their innovator program and I couldn't be more excited to be associated with one of, if not in my opinion, the best supplement companies in the world. You can head over to my Instagram page to learn more about their products as well as their culture. You can also use the link in my bio as well as my promo code JG15 to save 15% on your order. The well-rounded piece.